Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Broncos are going to be a fun one. They're going to be one to watch in this draft because I could see them. You know, Sean Payton kind of goes to the beat of his own drum. Everybody questioned him when they took Bo Nix, and that clearly clicked. So
that wasn't bad, was it?
No, not at all. And I mean, he clearly clicked into place, got Courtland Sutton in place. But you're right, the running back thing there makes a lot of sense. He's done a lot of damage with, you know, whether it was Deuce McAllister, whether it was Alvin Kamara, whomever else came down his way.
And they got
Sproles.
They got rid of Williams. He left in free agency. And so he's not there. Tyler Beatty is what his name used to be. Why a guy would change the pronunciation of his last name from Beatty to Bidet, I have no idea, but he did. Or is it Tyson? Tyler or Tyson? He's from Missouri. His name was Beatty, B-A-D-I-E. And then he changed the pronunciation to Bidet.
That's a choice. That's a real choice. Unless he's, you know.
It's like if your name is like Outheimer or something like that and you change it to Outhouse. I mean, what are you thinking,
right? You're just setting yourself up for more failure than playing with that.
I don't get it.
Unless maybe it was one of those, that was the pronunciation and he knew this was going to be a problem going through middle school into high school and then probably into college and all the jokes
but now that he's a man.
Right, it's like, okay, I think we're all mature enough to handle this.
By the way, he's an interesting young running back. But I wouldn't be surprised if they go running back.
And my answer back to him is, we're not. We are not mature enough to handle
that. No, we're not mature enough to handle that at all. Coming up in about 14 minutes, Derek Claassen from the Athletic Football Show is going to join us. I'm anxious to get his thoughts because, Dan, you've told me he knows his quarterbacks like crazy.
Yes, he does.
I wonder what he would think of the idea of the Browns not taking Ward or Sanders at 2, if and one of them would be clearly on the board there, but trading back up into the first round either for Sanders if he drops, or would you trade back up into the first round to take Milroe or Dart?
Just get that fifth-year option.
Yeah, do you think, though, is it that important to do that?
I think so.
I mean, in the NFL, you're just going to pay the guy anyway. If you save a couple of mil for a year, you know, for 1 year, is that big of a deal?
So,
and it's saving tens of millions probably, but still.
I'll use the quintessential example that you're going to throw something at me for. So prepare whatever blunt device you deem necessary to throw at my head.
It's my phone, but I don't want to do that.
Beautiful. The fifth-year option came into play with Jordan Love. Like, that was one where
he sat for three years.
Yeah. Right. And so you were able to do that to get, like, really have everything in place to make sure. Now, they ended up paying him before that fifth-year option, but they had that as a backbone in case they weren't able to negotiate to have him play on that fifth-year option and then turn around and sign them and give them more time. Like, that's where the fifth-year option could kind of come into play. Or if, let's say, you get hurt in year two. Something happens in year three. Now we have year four where you look good, but we don't know if it's like that's where all of that stuff comes into play with having the fifth year option. And I think it's like 15 or 16 mil. So it's somewhat affordable on top of it, especially when you're talking quarterback play. So like you could see why people want to do that.
Would you give up? Would you give up, say, 33 obviously, and maybe a third to do that? Or in your situation, are you better off biting the bullet? The Watson contract would be off the books by the time you'd need to pick up the option on a guy you would pick maybe at 33 if he's still there. Mm-hmm. I can see trading up if you don't think your guy's going to be there at 33 and you want him. But I just wonder, are you better off hanging on to the draft choice? Picking up a guy who, you know, you get at 33, and then pick a guy in the third round, hopefully nail that pick, and have another body, knowing it'll cost you some money down the road.
I like the idea of trading up with the fifth-year option because I also like the idea of having quarterbacks set. So, like, I like the idea of whomever they bring in, whether it's Shedeur Sanders, whether it's Cam, or not Cam Ward, because he's probably going to go one, but whether it's Shedeur Sanders, whether it's Jackson Dark, whether it's Jalen Miller, Tyler Shock, I like the idea that these guys sit. So, I like having that fifth-year option because year one is going to be a wash. Because I want that guy to sit. I want that guy to focus on footwork. I want that guy to focus on understanding an NFL offense. I want that guy to understand how much faster this is moving than it did in college. And I want that guy to understand, and especially if that guy's Jackson Dart, that guys are not going to be that wide open in the NFL. And that your offensive play caller is not going to be able to design you to somebody who looks like they have their own zip code in the middle of the field. So, like, that's why I like that fifth-year option is because it buys me a year and makes it so that year one, I can have that guy sit and learn.
Jackson Dart turns 22 in May. He's real young. I can see where that fits. And if you're drafting Milroe or Dart, I think the clear plan would be for him to sit.
Correct.
And I think that would be the right plan.
Yes, especially and Milroe as well, because Milroe is a project.
Without question.
And you're starting
to hear...
But
boy, does he look good running the football.
He does. And you're starting to hear that come out more and more that teams are like, well, you know, if it all goes south, you might be able to use him as a running back. It's like, yeah, but I'd like to use him as a quarterback.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I want him to be a quarterback. Like, we can work with this. We can do this.
I would agree with that. I wonder if, and I can't wait to talk to Derek Clawson about this. I wonder if Milroe's even a fit for what they want to do offensively. Hey, but here's the thing that I've always said,
I
truly believe this. You develop your system for the talent that you have.
Correct.
I don't think you think, well, that guy's really, really, really good, but he doesn't fit with exactly what we want to do, so we're not bringing him in. No, you draft the best guys you can get and guys who you think are going to be wildly successful, and then you tailor your scheme to fit their skill set.
But I think there's a little give and take with that, too.
Well, sure, but I didn't say change. I said tailor it.
Right.
In other words, hey, this guy does this well. We have to add these elements.
Because, like, again, I go back to the Packers with Matt LaFleur, with Aaron Rodgers saying, I don't like turning my back to the defense. And the fact that LaFleur was like, no, you're going to get under center. You're going to hand the ball off, and you're going to have to turn your back onto the defense, and I'll show you why, because you're going to end up with all of this stuff wide open, and you're going to end up with all of these different things. And you saw with the Jets, when you don't end up doing that, the offense doesn't look as well. So, like, it doesn't click. And I know I'm using an extreme example. But, like, I'm with you on, okay, let's take this element and this element and this element and work it with this. But at the same point, I want these college quarterbacks to be under center. And I want them to have to turn around and play the play-action bootleg game that you don't see a boatload of in college. Instead, it's all that read option. But bring in some of those elements, and then that way you become versatile. Like, that's my thing with it, is like, don't just take this idea that works and just flush it because your quarterback walks in and goes, well, don't like turning my back to the defense. Never did that in college.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it. It's like, no, there's a reason that this works. There's a reason these philosophies and these ideas work as well. And while you may not do them in college, in the pros, this works out. And here's the reason.
The the fascinating thing about this draft to me for the Browns is, and again, we haven't had one in a while, but sitting at 2 and then sitting at 33, there are just so many opportunities here and a lot of different things they can do with a lot of different picks, 11 draft choices. There's a lot of things they can do. And the fact that this is good if you're looking for action in the draft. It's bad if you're just looking for a quarterback. The fact that nobody's sold on any of these guys, it seems, except maybe Cam Ward, is both fascinating, fun, and scary. You know what I mean? I mean, it's fascinating because, ooh, can they figure out which guy's going to play? Because you know 2 or 3 of these guys are going to end up being really good NFL quarterbacks. Which ones?
Maybe.
Maybe 2. All right, let's go 2.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Cam Ward and somebody else going to be really pretty good. Which 2? Can you figure it out?
We're in the middle of the time of year where we all start talking ourselves into anything. Like, you see it in mock drafts. You see it all over the place. And so that's why I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say that back to you.
Dan, you don't have to try to be a jerk.
But it's one of those where it falls, because we're right in the middle of this where we'll talk ourselves into anything that I'm like, okay, let's pump the brakes. Like, maybe. We've had the EJ Manuel draft before. We've had the Kenny Pickett draft before.
Hey, look at your Marcus Russell.
Right. We've had these drafts before where we've walked out of them and looked at them 5 years later and went, oh, crap, there's a quarterback worth a hill of beans here.
No, that's true.
So.
And the guys that somebody's going to be able to play, right? Derek Clawson from the Athletic Football Show. Those his quarterbacks. He's next, about 5 minutes away here on Baskin and Phelps. When you're looking for insight, and you're looking for guys who know more than you do, and it's not hard for us to find. But when you see a guy's bio, when it says where he works, this, staff writer for The Athletic, covering the NFL, and co-host on The Athletic Football Show with our buddy Robert Mays, he is an NFL and NFL draft film analyst with a particular interest in quarterbacks. Ding, ding, ding. Derek Clawson rings the bell for us, and Derek joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Derek, good to have you back with us. How are you?
How are you, Derek?
I'm doing good this morning. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we need a quarterback, Derek. That's how we're doing.
You're going to be doing so good, right?
Exactly right. Without one, you don't do that well. Before we get into any specifics, are you comfortable with the thought, or is it thought that's erroneous, that there are 2 quarterbacks in this draft who could end up being top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and that a team drafting at number 2 should definitely take, or should they be looking in other directions?
I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but to me, there's only really one quarterback that I think has like a top 10 ceiling in this league. And to me, it's Cam Ward. And all indications at this point seem like, you know, Tennessee has kind of tipped their hand that they're probably going to end up taking him. So both the Browns and Giants are going to be kind of left picking, you know, at Shedeur Sanders or whoever the other guys are. And I don't dislike Shedeur Sanders as a prospect. I just think that, you know, in years past, maybe 8 years ago, this is the range that a Derek Carr would go in, or an Andy Dalton, or a Colin Kaepernick, like players of that ilk, where it's like they can be solid starting quarterbacks for you, but I just don't know if they have like the super high-end potential that you typically see in the top 5.
So what is it about Shador's game that doesn't make you think that he could be in the top 5 in a draft with a little bit more with a little higher caliber quarterback?
To me, it's kind of reductive, but he's just not nearly as talented as a lot of the other guys you see in this range. You know, I think his arm is, I think, at the NFL threshold, but it's probably barely right there. I don't think it's a special arm by any means. And then athletically, I think he's not nearly as good as all the other superstar quarterbacks like we see, like the Burrows and the Herberts and all that stuff. So I think that's a tough starting point. And then when you look at guys in the draft who have typically been a little bit less talented than your typical top 10 picks, you're talking about your, you know, Tua Tagovailoa's, your Mac Jones's, your Bryce Young's, players like that. The hit rate for your Kenny Pickett's even, the hit rate on those type of guys is typically pretty low. Usually when the, you know, quote, lesser talented guys works out, it's third or fourth round picks that have had a couple years on the bench. You know, think of a guy like Kirk Cousins, or you saw this kind of from Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo. Usually that's the path for those guys. And so it's usually not being a top 5 pick the way that it seems to Sanders might be.
Derek Clawson joining us from the Athletic Football Show, staff writer for the Athletic covering the NFL. I've asked numerous people this, and I keep I keep hoping to get a great answer and an optimistic answer, I guess, for the Browns fans. You're not crazy about Sanders. Is there a guy who's not considered one of the top two guys? And most folks have Sanders as the number two. Dart, Milroe, Shuck. Is there somebody else who you, Derek, think has a higher ceiling and would be a better guy for a team like the Browns to either trade back up into the first round to draft or maybe keep your fingers crossed that he's there at 33 and could be, will be better than Sanders as a pro?
I'd probably be scared to trade up for any of them back in the first round. It would just be a lot of capital. But I do think when you're looking at, you know, pick 33 or around that range, you could kind of sell me on Tyler Shuck. Obviously, being an older prospect is a little bit scary, and I think in some ways limits his ceiling because he's probably just by this point had so many reps and learned enough that the ceiling is probably a little bit limited. But I do think he has a pretty elastic arm. He's a very powerful thrower. I think he's a better athlete right now than Shedeur Sanders is. Not a special one by any means, but certainly enough to scramble around a little bit and be a little bit part of your run game. My issue with Shuck a little bit is sometimes if he gets pressured, he has this tendency to shy away. But just from a talent perspective, I think he clears all of the other guys in this class outside of probably Cam Ward for me.
When you think of what Kevin Stefanski does in an offense, at least how it's been successful in the past. We could pretty much take last year and maybe throw that one out the window. Which quarterback do you think fits that general philosophy that Stefanski wants to play with?
To me, it probably is Tyler Shuck, actually, because, you know, I think when I think of the ideal Stefanski offense, it's we're getting under center. We're trying to run some of our, you know, pulling concepts in the run game, like our power, our counter, some of our duo, and really have this downhill run game. And off of that, we're going to have a play-action game that isn't the boot-type stuff that you see from Kyle Shanahan, but it's the straight seven-step drop back. We're going to throw these deep posts, these deep corner routes, these deep digs, all that sort of stuff. I do think Shuck is more than talented enough to make those throws. So I would say him, or if that's going to be the style, you could kind of convince me on Dart. I think his processing right now is a little bit further away than Tyler Shuck's is, but you could at least convince me that maybe with a year on the bench or, you know, maybe 8 weeks into the season when he's been able to settle down a little bit, that he could make some of those throws.
Would you worry about sitting him for a year with his age?
Shuck?
Tyler Shuck? Definitely. Yeah, it's just, you know, because I brought this up with, you know, the Seahawks. They're looking for a quarterback, and so they could take a guy behind Sam Darnold, but why would they take Shuck if you're going to sit a guy who's 26? So I do think, though, with some of Shuck's, you know, with him just being a talented player, like I said, I think his arm is pretty good. He's a good athlete. He's seen enough reps. I think his processing is – I've kind of compared it to Ryan Tannehill, where if you watched Ryan Tannehill, he was generally doing the right thing. He would just sometimes be a beat late, and sometimes his arm was good enough to make up for it. Sometimes it wasn't. Obviously, when he had A.J. Brown, the margin for error was a little bit, you know, a little bit kinder to him. So I think he could kind of give you that level of play. And so I don't even know if he's the guy you would need to sit right away. I think Dart is more the guy I would want to give a little bit of time.
You like Dart's upside, Derek? Or is it keep your fingers crossed?
I think it's a little bit of keep your fingers crossed. You know, the thing I keep coming back to, and I know this is a little bit simple and maybe unfair, but the next great quarterback from those offenses will be the first one. And so that's kind of my issue with Dart right now, is that from these heavy, the super spread RPO, you know, based offenses where you're not really reading the field a whole lot, you just don't see guys come into the league with the requisite processing ability to make those plays. So I do think Dart is relatively talented. He's a solid athlete. When he just stares down the barrel of the gun and makes like some of those, you know, dig routes, you know, dig throws and stuff like that, he can look talented. But to me, I think his processing is probably 2 years away from being like NFL ready.
Derek Klaassen joining us. You can listen to him on the Athletic Football Show 3 times a week on the Athletic Podcast Network on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, let's bring up the other one that's in there too, Derek, which is Jalen Milroe, who every time I at least watch him, it feels like you're, you know, you've basically been handed this beautiful piece of marble and you're like, carve something out of this. Do you see it with Jalen Milroe that way?
I want to like him so bad. First of all, he just seems like he's so talented, right? Like he would instantly walk into the league as one of the top probably five best athletes at the position, which even if, you know, whatever issues he might have as a passer right now is obviously a boon. We've seen Justin Fields hold on to jobs for basically the same reason. The issues with Milroe right now are, I think he can kind of lock onto stuff pre-snap, and then he'll just kind of won't come off of it, and he'll just throw stuff that is covered, and so I think that is one issue for him. And then the other one is, he's a guy who throws 100 miles an hour no matter what. You know, Colin Kaepernick kind of had this issue where he was like a javelin thrower, right? Like that ball was going 100 miles an hour no matter what. He struggled with touch. Sometimes that can help you, right? You know, fit in tight windows. Sometimes you need to put a little bit of finesse on like a corner route, and he just can't do that right now. So those are probably my two biggest issues with him. But he's another guy where I think if you're a team that is committed to putting a guy on the bench, kind of like a Seattle or something like that, or if the Browns want to do this, I would prefer him over Dart. You know, maybe you could say Dart is more accurate right now, but I just feel like the upside for Milroe is so much more tantalizing.
Derek, you mentioned a name earlier. It's a name that keeps coming up here because of his situation and the situation that he used to work with Kevin Stefanski, and that's Kirk Cousins. Last year, he went to Atlanta and then kind of had the rug pulled out from under him when they drafted Michael Penix. That didn't work. Cousins seemed to play pretty well early in the season. And then folks in Atlanta would say that, you know, he got dinged up and his play fell and then he got benched. You've looked at him. Does he still have the ability to play top-notch quarterback in the NFL or as close to top-notch as he's ever played? Is he still that guy, or was he the guy who ended up getting benched?
You know, I think he'll probably not ever be as good as he was in 2023 with the Vikings. I think that was one of his best seasons that he had ever played, and he was really good then. But I think he was better with the Falcons last year than people remember. I think that first game where they ran, like, all pistol offense, no play action, any of that stuff, I think that scared people. And then, obviously, the very end of his season where he gets hurt again, he just doesn't look like he has it physically. I think that also scared people. But those 8 or 9 weeks in the middle of that, I think he played, I wouldn't say, like, top eight quarterback, but I think firmly above average. And even if his arm is maybe a tad more limited now, I think he's such a smart player. He's so accurate. I think, you know, he would obviously have familiarity with Stefanski that I think he would be able to give them significantly better quarterback play and significantly more stable quarterback play than they've gotten in a long time. So, and I think the other thing to consider is, I know he's getting older, but also this year he'll be one more year removed from that Achilles injury. So maybe he even looks a little bit healthier this year. So I think with all their options left available, I do think going and making the Kirk Cousins move is probably the Browns' best bet for trying to win games this year.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It's the NFL. You're not allowed to tamper with other players. But I'm sure the Browns have a real good idea if he would approve a trade to Cleveland and under what circumstances. We talked earlier. Dan's going to make a funny.
Oh, I was going to say, if a man eats at a Chipotle in your city, you should know he might be coming.
we threw out some scenarios earlier. I said if the Browns take Ward or Sanders or somebody at 2 at quarterback, Cousins isn't going to waive his no trade and come here. You know, why would he do that when it's clear they want this guy? Because I think he could still maybe start for a team for another 3 to 5 years, something like that. If you just said it, if they know they could get him to come here in a trade, what would that do for your thinking in the draft?
Yeah, I think if they knew they could get him, I would probably still take a quarterback at some point, right? But instead of feeling like you have to do it at 2 or even at 33, I think you could wait until the 3rd or 4th round and take one of these other guys. Like if they, you know, really like a Riley Leonard or something like that, then I think you can take that sort of dart throw. But I think getting Kirk Cousins, especially when you already have a more competent backup in Kenny Pickett, like you wouldn't really need to draft any guy who's going to play for you this year. So I think it would free them up to really take swings with especially their first round pick. You could go get an elite talent in this draft, whether it's Travis Hunter, whether it's Abdul Carter. You know, you would instantly have one of the best pass rushes in the league. And then it would free up their second round pick to, you know, this team kind of needs another receiver. I think they could probably use depth at a couple of the front seven positions. Like, I think them being able to use that pick there instead of on a quarterback that might not even play for them this year would do a lot for their ability to win games this season.
So right now, and again, it's 12:34 p.m. on April 2nd. I'm time stamping this so they don't get you aggregated, don't get you in trouble. With the second overall pick, the Cleveland Browns should select
Man, I would probably have to say I would take Travis Hunter. And I know that this is, you know, it's funny because I think Travis Hunter is mostly a cornerback, or at least I think that's his best position. And for the Browns, that's not necessarily a need right now. They've got three guys that are starting quality level players. But we all know Hunter can also be probably the most explosive receiver in this draft. And to me, I don't see a number one receiver on the Browns depth chart. You know, I think Judy is a solid starter to have. Cedric Tillman, I like the upside, but the sample is sort of limited on what he can be right now. I think getting Hunter in here, if you obviously added Kirk Cousins at quarterback, I think you would both raise the floor and the ceiling of your offense pretty quickly from what the depth chart looks like right now.
You mentioned Kenny Pickett. We're sitting here and thinking, okay, we love what he has said in press conferences. We had him on our show. He was outstanding. He doesn't lack for confidence. I think he has lacked for opportunity since the Pittsburgh thing went bye-bye, and maybe he can get it here. Can Kenny play in the NFL, and at what level can he play?
I don't think he's – you know, I really didn't love him as a prospect. I thought he was more of like a third-round prospect, and so I think what happened in Pittsburgh was kind of par for the course. But I do think he's like a quality backup-level type of player, and I also don't think he's any worse than what they had at quarterback – last season. Like, I know Kenny Pickett is you know, fun to, you know, kind of poke fun at because of it's kind of just what we do with some of these failed first round quarterbacks. But I think ultimately some of the stuff he showed in Philly last year, he still can be fairly accurate. You know, he's a relatively good athlete who can scramble around a little bit. I do think he's one of those processors where I think he does a lot of guesswork. And so that can lead you to some interceptions, but I think he's a talented enough player and has a decent enough of a handle on pocket presence that in an offense as well constructed as Stefanski's, again, he's not going to give you good quarterback play, but I think he can be even more competent than it was last year if he has to go get out there.
Derek, I also know you keep an eye on linebacker play and like to look at linebackers and all that stuff. Browns are in a really interesting situation here with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. No real idea if he's going to play or not play. Is there anybody in this draft at the linebacker spot that maybe Browns fans should keep an eye on as a safety net or somebody who can maybe complement JOK that you think would fit this team?
Yeah, I think they've got a few options. I think if they want to stick in kind of relatively the same body type and go maybe a little bit deeper in the draft, a guy like Jeffrey Bassa from Oregon, I really love. You know, he's a decent runner in terms of sideline to sideline speed, but to me, he's just a guy who his block take-on ability is incredible. He's a really smart player, good tackler. So if they want to go a little bit, you know, quote, cheaper in the draft, I think that could be a good option for them. He's probably your best bet. I like Chris Paul, also out of Ole Miss. He's another guy who, I don't know if he's an elite athlete necessarily, but if they just want a guy who can be competent while they try to figure out what they want to do with JOK, I think that's another good bet there.
All right, Derek, sum it up for us. We laid out some things early on in the show before you joined us. Three scenarios for the Browns. If they take a quarterback at two, this is what their quarterback room looks like. And it would be Ward or Sanders with Kenny Pickett and then some veteran that they sign. Or scenario number two, where they take a guy in the second round or trade back up into the first, and maybe Cousins is okay with that, and maybe he's not. And or maybe you sign a guy like Carson Wentz, and then you have three guys compete. Or scenario number three, which you actually touched on, where Cousins would come here, it would be good for the Browns, and he'd be with Pickett, and then you draft a developmental guy later in the draft. Which scenario do you think works best for the Browns, both this coming year and long-term?
I much prefer the Kirk Cousins outcome, for both the short-term and the long-term. I think for the short-term, he is probably going to give you better play than any of the rookies are going to get, or obviously any of the other veterans on the market. And so I think in the short term, he obviously gives you that there. And then in the long term, I know that he's, you know, probably not going to be an elite quarterback 4 years from now or whatever. He's weird, you know, who Kirk Cousins is, but I also just don't think any of the other rookies that they would take in the first or second round are necessarily going to be elite quarterbacks either. So I don't think it hurts you in the long term to go get a guy like Kirk Cousins and then maybe take your swing in, like I said, the fourth round on a Quinn Ewers, Riley Leonard, whoever it is that they like. So I would prefer whatever option gets Kirk Cousins in Cleveland.
Derek, it's a fascinating time to be a Browns follower. I can tell you that, and you added to it. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Derek Clausen from the Athletic Football Show. He co-hosts with Robert Mays three times a week. Make sure you listen to that, and you can read all of Derek's work on the Athletic. And, man, he had some great thoughts about the quarterback.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan, in for Andy today. And we just had Derek Clausen on from the Athletic Football Show podcast that he hosts with Robert Mays, who's been on the show many times before, and staff writer for The Athletic, who specializes in quarterbacks. And I thought Derek was outstanding. I thought he had some really good information for us. And we laid out early in the show, we put together what the Browns quarterback room could look like. And we asked Derek, what do you think the best scenario is? And he had kind of touched on it before, but he hammered it home. And he said this as to what he thought would be the absolute best situation for the Browns coming out of the draft and free agency.
I would probably still take a quarterback at some point, right? But instead of feeling like you have to do it at 2 or even at 33, I think you could wait until the third or fourth round and take one of these other guys. Like if they really like a Riley Leonard or something like that, then I think you can take that sort of dart throw. But I think getting Kirk Cousins, especially when you already have a more competent backup in Kenny Pickett, like you wouldn't really need to draft any guy who's going to play for you this year. So I think it would free them up to really take swings with their, especially their first round pick. You could go get an elite talent in this draft, whether it's Travis Hunter, whether it's Abdul Carter. You know, you would instantly have one of the best pass rushes in the league. And then it would free up their second round pick to, this team kind of needs another receiver. I think they could probably use depth at a couple of the front seven positions. Like, I think them being able to use that pick there instead of on a quarterback that might not even play for them this year would be, it would do a lot for their ability to win games this season.
That makes so much sense, it's ridiculous. But that's dependent on one thing. And we laid this out early, and Derek just hammered it home. They're dependent on getting Kirk Cousins. And I think, Dan, they it's the NFL. I mean, there are not a whole lot of guys, not a whole lot of secrets, not a whole lot of teams, right? And one, this guy has a history with our coach and blah, 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 blah. You can be sure they know if he would come here and under what circumstances he would come here. And I'm sorry, since there's been no explanation, and yet there were pictures out on social media that Kirk was here, but no explanation as to why he was here. I'm sorry. Not just a coincidence that he showed up in Cleveland before the draft. Didn't have to be anything Browns related. But, I love our city. I love Northeast Ohio. If I'm living in Atlanta with my family, my in-laws are there. Weather is much nicer there than it is here during late March. I'm not coming to Cleveland just to hang out by Lake Erie in late March. If I'm an NFL quarterback who's worth gazillions of dollars, he was here for a reason.
Unless, again, and nobody knows. We're all guessing on all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's got friends who live here he went to college with at Michigan State.
Sure is fun.
Yeah, maybe it's, without question. Like, there's a lot of different things that could happen besides the wink, wink, nudge, nudge that may have taken place. And though I think deep down in our souls, we all believe it's wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yes, we do.
But we know that there's a lot more that can go into this. It makes a lot of sense. He, to me, fits the mold of, I don't like quarterbacks in this draft high enough to commit my future to them. I need somebody to get me somewhere where I would feel more committed to the quarterback of the future, maybe in 2026. And as much as everybody may want to throw something at me for saying it, maybe 2027. But like,
which, by the way,
at least you have a plan.
Which, by the way, your owner gave you carte blanche to do.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Haslam saying we don't need to force the quarterback. Well, there you go. That means you don't have to. And You can be sure they know if Kirk Cousins is a real viable candidate to come here. And if they think he is and they think they like him, then they're not taking a quarterback at two. I think it's that simple.
I do too.
The NFL owners meetings in Florida are wrapping up. And, you know, we've heard about the rule changes and, you know, the eye in the sky for the first down, and tush push is still around, but now there's talk they might try to outlaw pushing or polling in the NFL.
Well, talk.
I'm sorry. A game that's based on tackling, you're going to eliminate pushing and polling. Okay. Let's let that sink in for a little bit. I understand the concept there, but you're paid to grab people and tackle them.
Jeff, you understand more than anything. The most enjoyment in life comes with how convoluted you can make it.
Well, by God, they're on their way.
Convoluted you make something, the more fun it becomes.
They are on their way. The owners approved something else, though. And they decided, and I think this is fascinating, because, I'm sorry, old stuff gets buried. Very rarely does it get dug up. Unless you're, what, an archaeologist, right?
Correct.
The NFL announced it will count statistics from the All-America Football Conference towards the NFL's official records.
That's cool.
And if you're not familiar with the All-American Football Conference, you're probably like most football fans in America, but not like most diehard Browns fans.
I didn't want to shove my foot in my mouth on that, but yes, please continue.
Well, the All-American Football Conference formed right after World War II, and the reason we're so familiar with it here in Cleveland is because the Browns dominated.
Right.
And it didn't exist for very long. It was 1946 to 1949. And Paul Brown formed the team, coached the team, and they won it every year. The Browns were the dominant team. San Francisco 49ers are also a relic from the All-American Football Conference. And the Browns in the AAFC is what it was called, had a record of 47-4-3.
Pretty good.
So all of those wins that Paul Brown had there now count on his NFL coaching record. And it moves him up, actually, into like seventh place in the NFL history in all-time wins. And I just think it's really pretty cool. And Otto Graham was there, and you know his passing yards and stuff. It's really cool that time in NFL history, because it was NFL history. You know, they ended up taking it in like they took in the AFL in the 60s and or in 70 eventually. And I just think it's really cool that they did that and recognize some great football from back in the day.
That's awesome. And you know what? That's the way it should be. We shouldn't let this stuff get forgotten and swept under the rug and all that kind of stuff. Like, put this stuff in there. Have people remember it. Have people look at this. Maybe not totally for comparisons and all that kind of stuff, but it's cool to know your history.
Marion Motley, the great player, Marion from Stark County. Marion now has his rushing totals from the AAFC included, now leads all running backs with a 5.7 career rushing average.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that'll force people to click that page on Football Reference and read about Marion Motley and keep the legend going and the stories going that come with it.
So,
and want to know more. That's cool. See, that's worth it in itself.
Well done, NFL owners. Yeah. I just think that's really, I think that's really good. Really good. Guardians are opening up out west. They have another game against the Padres this afternoon. It's a, I think, 4 o'clock local start. Last night it didn't go well. Chris Ossenheimer covers the Guardians for the Chronicle-Telegram. Can we learn anything from what's happened so far? We'll ask Chris that very thought, because there are some things that have popped up. Ossenheimer next, right here on Baskin and Phelps.